The Apostle Peter explained that in the sight of God, time is different from the sight of man. In Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, "I come quickly." Peter says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." That explains to us when we read the Bible, and Jesus says, "I come quickly," or an apostle or prophet says, "Jesus comes quickly," and 2,000 years pass. That's not quickly to us, but in the sight of God, that's a little over 2 days since Jesus was crucified and resurrected, taken into heaven. So, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Revelation 22:20. "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens and earth will pass away with great fire. The great tribulation of God with all the 14 plagues will come upon this earth to judge the people of the world and the Antichrist churches. Matthew 24, start at verse 1. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Jesus shows his disciples that all these things we marvel over and see with our natural eye will be destroyed by God at the end of this world. Verse 3, Matthew 24. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They will come saying, Jesus is Lord, and deceive many, because you wouldn't listen to them if they say they're Christ. But if they say Jesus is Lord, many people will be deceived by them. Ministers and Christians will come saying that when they're not really Christians at all, don't have the Holy Spirit. So Jesus warns us, don't be deceived by them. We always watch what they do and wait for evidence to come that they actually have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God leading them, and that that's what they're doing. One time a minister wrote to me from Philippines, and he gave an example, and I thought he was of God. He didn't understand anything of God, as it turned out. And I was deceived by him. I don't think he did it maliciously, but he was just copying another minister who was of God. And that minister said something, and he said it to me, and I knew it was of God. But I didn't know that it wasn't taught him by God, but he learned it from another minister. Now Jesus is going to tell us in Matthew 24 something he calls the beginning of sorrows. Start at verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. And there shall be famines and pestilences and great earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So many of these things have already passed many times. World War I, World War II, beginnings of sorrows. Churches departing from scriptures of the Bible and setting up doctrines contrary to Christ, Antichrist in the church. The falling away spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 9. These things have been fulfilled, and then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. We sure saw that in World War II. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There'll be so much iniquity in the world around us that the devil will try to get us to say, oh, what's the use? What's the use of trying? Well, the use of trying is your eternal life depends upon it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. For women to kill their own unborn babies is without natural affection. Why, a mother bear would fight you to the death if you tried to hurt one of her cubs. That's natural. But to abort your unborn children, that's without natural affection, especially of the last days. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. They can't control themselves, and they just say things without control. Fierce. Oh, we really see that. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they go to church, they're baptized, but denying the power of the scriptures. Paul says, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see iniquity growing constantly. You think it can't get any worse, and it gets worse. We've seen this for decades, for centuries. Yet, Jesus has not come back. Remember, Peter says, in the sight of God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Jesus will come. And the great tribulation of God will come upon this world. And we who belong to God will be taken out off this earth. and taken to meet the dead in Christ who have risen, and Jesus who has come through the clouds, will be taken up from this earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13, tells about that. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I have heard so many older Christians say, "Things are so watered down at church. They aren't like they used to be. Things are so watered down." Well, that's part of the Great Tribulation, because their pastors change the Word of God so people will not leave their church group and more people will come to it. I attended a luncheon at Texas Tech in Lubbock, Texas. We had assigned seating. I was seated next to a man who was wearing the largest cross around his neck I've ever seen. It had to be 9 inches long. It was a wooden cross. There were about 10 people at the table. He was speaking, and he said, "Oh, we have such a problem at the church. We have fixed it 3 times and it still have a problem." He said, "We just have so many people coming to church, we can't seat them." I spoke up and said, "Well, if you would speak what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 32, about half of those people would get up and leave you and you wouldn't have any trouble seating them." His mouth fell open. Some of the people began to laugh. I got up and just fled. I wasn't going to sit next to a man like that and have dinner. Matthew 5:32. Have you ever heard anyone say the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery? Jesus said it in this verse of Scripture. He also said it in Matthew 19. But Matthew 5:32, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." I've tried to find churches to go to for more than 40 years. I've never heard anybody at church say, "The man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." I've never heard very many say that if a woman remarries, she commits adultery. They once taught it at Church of Christ. "Whosoever shall put away his wife, divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Upon remarriage, she will commit adultery." The faithful wife. "And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." There was a man in our church group who filed divorce papers with the courts to divorce his wife. I heard about it. I called him and I said, "Was your wife unfaithful?" He got very silent. And then he said, "No." I said, "Well, the only scriptural reason to divorce your wife is if she's unfaithful." And I gave him Matthew 5:32. Apparently he read it because he did not divorce his wife. But I've certainly never heard them teach at any church that I've attended that the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Matthew chapter 24, concerning the end times. Verse 14, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I know on internet and through blog and podcast, the messages I speak now go to all nations in the entire world. So I would believe that this has been fulfilled and Jesus could come anytime. Let's read Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all tribes of the earth mourn. Why are they mourning when they see Jesus coming through the clouds? Well, they're not believers. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he, Jesus, shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It comes with the sound of a great trumpet. That will get our attention, even if we're in the bathroom at the time and have the door closed. If we hear a sound of a great trumpet, I think we'll be alert to looking. And you'll probably see Jesus coming in the clouds. And then he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, says Jesus, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you today.